Welcome to the KPFA local station board meeting. Today is March 11th, 2026. I'm Carol Wolfley, chair of the board. And Candace, will you please take roll?
Rabab Abdul Hadi. Rabab. Emma Auer.
Emma will not be able to make it today. She asked for an excused absence. She has a conflict.
Virginia Browning.
Virginia just came in.
Virginia, are you here? I'll come back to her. Michael Cheng.
Michael here. Cheng. Here, here.
Cheryl Davila. Cheryl Davila. Fred Dodsworth. Fred Dodsworth?
Fred asked for an excused absence, Candace.
Okay. Anthony Fest?
Anthony, you're muted.
I saw you there.
I'm here.
Thought I saw you. Anthony present. Sherry Gendelman?
Present.
Sherry present. Christina Huggins?
Present.
Christina present. Nunu Kadani?
Present.
Nunu present. Zach Caldvier?
Here.
Zach present. Carlos Cohan? Carlos?
I'm sorry, I was in mute. Present.
Carlos present. Steve Kukala? I think he was having trouble with his Zoom. Colleen Mast?
Present.
Colleen is present. Kathy Pico? I think she was also having trouble. Allegra Thompson?
Here.
Allegra present. Andrea Turner?
Andrea asked for an excused absence, but she may come if she can. Oh, no, there she is.
Andrea Turner? I'll come back. Richard Walensky? Richard Walensky?
Richard asked for an excused absence.
Stan Woods?
Here.
Stan present. Candace Schott present. Carol Wolfley?
Present.
Carol present. Virginia Browning?
Here.
Virginia present. Cheryl Davila?
Present.
Cheryl present. Fred Dodsworth? Oh, you said he was excused?
Yes.
And we'll hope that Steve gets in. Kathy Pico? Still not here. Andrea Turner?
Here.
Andrea present. So we have 14 present, 4 excused, and 2 we're waiting on, hopefully.
Thank you, Candace. And I want to take a moment to welcome the people who are joining us for public comments from community organizations. We look forward to hearing your presentations, and those will start about 7:15. So I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
I have a motion to make.
Go ahead. What is your motion?
I move that Donna Carter be admitted to the meeting.
Okay. I'm going to rule that.
A second.
Yeah, thank you. Please write it in the chat, Anthony. And I am going to rule that out of order because Donna Carter was suspended from KPFA meetings until May of 2020. No, until the 20th of March.
That's why I'm making my motion.
Okay, and I've ruled that out of order.
Do you want to give me a chance to motivate it?
No, I've ruled it out of order, Anthony. We're going to move on to...
I challenge the ruling of the chair, then.
Okay, we'll take a... we will now take a roll call vote. Go ahead, Candace.
Virginia Browning?
What's the vote for?
I vote in favor of Anthony's proposal.
Cheryl, the my motion is to admit Donna to the meeting.
And okay. I vote against the ruling of the chair, against the ruling of the chair.
So can somebody clarify what is yes or no?
Okay. A yes vote is to uphold the ruling of the chair.
So I vote no.
Virginia Browning, no. Michael Chang?
Yes.
Michael, yes. Cheryl Davila?
No.
Cheryl, no. Anthony Fest?
No.
Anthony, no. Sherry Gendelman?
I uphold the ruling of the chair, yes.
Christina Huggins?
Yes.
Christina, yes. Nunu Kadani?
Clarify to me again what yes and no is. I got confused with the...
Yes is upholding the ruling of the chair to not admit a person who was suspended.
Yes.
For freedom of speech.
I'm going to advise people, please do not call out and speak out of order. I really, you know, I don't want to have to move people out of the meeting into the waiting room. Let's go forward. Thank you.
Zach Colbier?
Yes.
Zach, yes. Carlos?
Abstain.
Carlos, abstain. Steve Cucullin not here. Colleen not here. Colleen. Sorry.
Yes.
Colleen Mast?
Yes.
Colleen, yes. Allegra Thompson?
Yes.
Allegra, yes. Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Andrea, yes. Richard Walensky? Oh, no, he's absent. Sorry. Stan Woods?
No.
Stan Woods, no. Candace Schott, yes. Carol Wolfley?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
10 yes, 4 no, 1 abstain.
Thank you. Okay.
The agenda.
Moving on, the time for approving the agenda is over. So we need to move on.
But we haven't approved the agenda, right?
Please do not call out Virginia.
I have a question about it.
Okay, and there's a way to raise a question.
Okay, what is that, please?
You said point of information.
Point of information.
You have a question.
Point of information.
Yeah. So... we are going to approve the agenda, I would rather not do it with a whole roll call. So the motion on the floor right now is to approve the agenda. We can take time to have a whole vote, or we can go ahead.
Point of information.
Are there any objections to approving the agenda?
Point of information.
What's your point?
What is the content of the executive session?
To discuss proprietary matters.
Little clarification, please. A little more detail.
There is no more detail in this open session. So, right now.
I vote no. I don't approve the minutes.
Okay. Thank you. We're not on that item. So if there are no other objections to approving the agenda, we do have guests at our meeting, and I would like not to waste a lot of time on dilatory matters. So if we can, please let's go on to approving the agenda is approved. And
I object, Virginia.
Okay, we will take a roll call. Go ahead, Candace. A yes vote is approving the agenda.
Virginia Browning?
Oh.
You do not, you said no?
No.
I do not approve the agenda.
Virginia, no. Michael Cheng?
Yes.
Michael Cheng, yes. Cheryl Davila?
No.
Cheryl, no. Anthony Fest?
I vote no.
Anthony, no. Sherry Gendelman?
Yes.
And Sherry, yes.
I would like to make a motion. I have my hand up. Look.
Go ahead, Sherry.
I had my hand up as well.
Thank you. Go ahead, Sherry.
My motion is to approve those people who are absent, who have requested excused absences.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Oh,
thank you, yeah.
Okay, any objection to approving the excused absences?
Yes.
Hearing none, we'll go ahead. Okay.
I said yes.
Oh, okay. And please note that Cheryl Davila objects to approving the absences.
And I have my hand up as well. Can I speak?
For what purpose?
I wanted to make a motion to allow, Steve and Elizabeth back into these meetings since you changed the dates of the meetings without addressing them coming back into the meeting.
Thank you.
Because they should have been in the meeting, but you changed the date. So that's my motion. And I can't put it in the chat because there is no chat.
Your motion is out of order at this time. We are now on approving the agenda. And so, Candace, did you finish?
Can you explain why it's out of order? I don't understand.
It's out of order because we're not on that item right now. We are in a vote right now. Candace, can you finish the vote?
Christina Huggins? You approve it? Yes?
Yes.
Nunu Kadani?
Yes.
Nunu, yes. Zach Calvier?
Yes.
Zach, yes. Carlos Cohan?
Yes.
Carlos, yes. Colleen, Allegra Thompson?
Yes.
Allegra, yes. Andrea Turner?
Yes.
And Stan Woods?
Couldn't hear you.
Stan Woods?
You're mute.
Okay. Stan, you need
you're
to
muted. Unmute. Can't you unmute him?
Cheryl, please do not continue to interrupt.
No, I don't know what the problem was.
Okay.
Stan Woods?
No.
Stan Woods, no. Candace Schott, yes. Carol Wolfley?
Yes.
Carol Wolfley, yes.
Yes.
Colleen, I didn't get yours.
Yes.
Colleen, yes.
Good. Go ahead, Candace.
What's the total?
We have, just a second, I had to add in these people not here. We have 11 yes, 5 no, and several absent.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why I didn't count them. But
We don't need to report on them. Yeah. Okay.
5 absent.
So I want to just take a moment to apologize to our visitors to the meeting. I'm like, we are dealing with, some challenges. And thank you for your patience. And we do look forward to hearing from you at 7:15. And we're, are there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. And we'll now hear a report from Antonio Ortiz, our general manager. And if you have questions, please email them. Please write them in the chat. And Christina,
we don't have access to the chat.
Okay, everybody does have access to the chat. You have access. Christina, go ahead and make your change.
The chat's disabled as far as I can tell.
The chat is not disabled. The chat is selected.
Can I make a point of
it at the bottom, Cheryl?
Point of information.
On my screen, it says chat is disabled.
Point of information?
Yes.
So the chat setup seems to be slightly different than the normal Zoom chat. There's a plus sign. There's an everyone box, and then there's a plus sign. When you click on the plus, it allows you to start a chat.
But Cheryl is saying that hers is says disabled.
That's in the setting. You should have to go to enable it.
I can go there now. I can go there if I click on the plus sign.
Thank you, Nina.
Thank you, everyone. So if you would like to ask a question, please go to questions and motions in the chat, and that is where you will be able to put your questions. Please put one at a time. So go ahead, Antonio. Thank you. I want to introduce to everyone Antonio Ortiz, our interim general manager.
Hi, everybody. Nice seeing you on a Wednesday evening. I'm going to try to go as quickly as possible so we can get to the public comment at 7:15. I'm going to go out of order on my report, but just some things that for you all to note. The winter fund drive ended on March 6th. Our goal was $450,000. We had a pledged amount by the end. We reached 90% of our goal with $408,000, a little bit over that, pledged. Just FYI, paid amount is $300,000 and 800 something. Just for you to note who don't know about it, when people do monthly pledges, we calculate it in the total amount, but when it's paid, it doesn't necessarily get paid immediately because they are paying it monthly, right? Some other things to note is that the Grateful Dead Marathon, we raised over $39,000 that day. So thank you to the team, to Tim Lynch and to David Gans for a successful Grateful Dead Marathon during our winter drive. Total donation count for the winter drive was 2,930 donations. 351 of those were new monthly pledges. And then we also have 2,579 one-time pledges. Please note that people who donate monthly can still choose to make a one-time pledge, especially if they're listening to a show that they're compelled to make a donation for, and there's a thank you gift that they're inspired to donate. So just know that it's not necessarily monthly versus one-timers, but some one-time pledges can incorporate, can include people that donate monthly. Okay, so that's the Winter Fund Drive update. One comment that the development director, Laura, brought to my attention is that on Saturday, March 7th, donors said, thank you all for your hard work and dedication to keep KPFA going. I think the station is stronger and more dynamic than ever in my 28 years of listening and learning. I'm so grateful to be a part of this radio community. So that was one wonderful comment that we got online. We are currently in post-drive, and hopefully we will raise the other $42,000 that we didn't raise for the winter fund drive. Okay. Then moving on, a sustainer update. So as of March 10th, that was yesterday, the development director gave me the total numbers of sustainers for KPFA. We have 4,854 monthly sustainers that is bringing in $97,347 per month. That is as of yesterday. Just for you to note, in February of 2025, the total number of sustainers that we had was 3,699, and that was equivalent to $75,139 per month. So since February 10th of 2025 till March 10th, 2026, we raised our monthly donations from 75,000 to 97,000. So I want to give a shout out to the development team, to Laura Privis, who runs the fund drives. As any of you who are in the station or work with Laura during fund drive will know, the fund drive is a very stressful time. And a lot of it is looking at the dollar amounts coming in or not enough coming in and then taking it home till the end. And so the last few days are the ones where people really get, tired. And, you know, I'm just really thankful for the team that we have that are able to sustain this model that we have. That being said, Laura and I have had many conversations about how to expand where we get funding outside of fund drives. And so just know that that's probably going to come down the pipeline where you may all hear about, other initiatives that we're going to try to get funding outside of the fund drive model. So going on from there, I want to bring up some events that are coming up. We're going to have 77th birthday events in, well, starting in this month and going to May. But the first one that's happening is Sabroso. It's going to be a salsa dance event at La Peña. It's going to be fun. Everyone's going to be dancing and moving and shaking their body and celebrating KPFA. And so that's going to be on Friday, March 27th. It's going to be from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock to 1 a.m. There's going to be a dance lesson at 8:15. So if anyone's interested to learn how to dance salsa, or if you do dance salsa, you want to go and be part of the action, go to that event. That's going to be on March 27th, and that is produced by Luis Medina of Con Sabor. Another event that I want to let you all know about is that we're going to go. Not really event, but on April 15th, Wednesday, April 15th, we're going to be doing our birthday drive. That's when we're going to be celebrating our 77th birthday. We're going to have a one-day drive with a goal of $30,000. There's going to be some special programming that will be happening that day, and stay tuned on the radio to find out more about that. Another event that's going to be happening, it'll happen the Saturday after the birthday drive, which is going to be a screening of KPFA On the Air, the documentary that was done about KPFA in the year 2000. And we're also going to have a celebration party that day. The screening is going to be at the Alameda Theater and Cineplex in Alameda. It's going to be on Saturday, April 18th from 2 to 4 p.m. There's going to be a live panel discussion produced by Vilma V of the Women's Magazine, she will lead a panel discussion that day after the screening. This event is produced by the California Historical Radio Society in collaboration with KPFA. And then also after that, we're going to have a party for the folks that go. And that's going to be at the California Historical Radio Society Museum in Alameda. And that'll be from 4 to 8 p.m. And if any of you have ever been to the California Historical Radio Society Museum, it's a beautiful, small museum. They also have, Radio Day by the Bay, where they have an event where people come from different radio stations to go and have a booth, connect with the listeners, connect with the public, and also they auction out old radios that they refurbish so that people can use them, with their new technology. So, if anyone's interested, you can check out the KPFA's website. Events for the screening and the party will probably not be posted on kpfa.org/events until a couple weeks from now, but the Sabroso event is on kpfa.org/events. I'm going to give you an update from the news director. So I'll read this because in my it's Lauren's words. So the newsroom is proud to report that they were able to meet every match put forward during the news hour, a first since the retirement of the station's previous news directors. They have also seen a marked increase in donations during news segments, reflecting the community's trust in the news team during these turbulent times. Additional support appears tied to the local live coverage and special programming the newsroom produced during the drive, including a live broadcast of the State of the Union with real-time analysis and rebuttals, coverage of the War and Powers vote in the Senate, that was on March 4th at 1 p.m., debate on the measure in the House of Representatives, and live coverage of the Senate Judiciary Committee's oversight hearing with DHS Secretary Kristi Noem March 3rd at 6 a.m. When I share this report on the IGM reports on the website, the links will be there for you all to listen to if you want to listen to them. These broadcasts required significant coordination between the newsroom and engineering team, but they clearly resonated with listeners. During these programs, there were noticeable boosts in listener contributions, reinforcing that timely live journalism drives engagement and support for the station. The newsroom team stepped up in a major way during this drive, producing high-impact coverage while maintaining the daily newscast. This is my note here for you all to know. The last day of the winter fund drive, the 6 p.m. evening news brought in over $9,000 in donations. Compared to the end of the holiday drive, which was a bit under 4,000. And then the final day of 2025, the winter 2025 fund drive, the news brought in about 4,800. So that's a marked difference with some of the changes that have been happening under Lauren Schmidt's leadership. I'm just going to say a round of applause for Lauren for a lot of those changes that have been happening, and we're seeing the results. And in Fund Drive, that's where, one place where we're seeing it. Now, the next thing that I want to do is we're going to go to the last part because I think I'll run out of time on this one, but we're going to go to the NFCB tech survey results. As you may know, the last meeting, I let you all or reminded you all that we participated in the public radio tech survey done by the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. There were 33 radio stations that participated. KPFA was one of them. KFCF also participated in this survey. And I will go to opening up some pages where we can look through them. Give me a second. Stop share. Here we go. Okay. So let me go to the beginning. And we're not going to be able to go through all 20 or all 30 pages, but we'll go through some that are notable. So in this survey, there were 3,800 respondents nationally. 440 respondents were from KPFA. One of the pages, and for you all to note, once the meeting is over, in the general manager reports, that section, I have a post there with all of the general manager reports since I came in as interim. A link to all of these slides will be there available for you all to look at. Okay. So no need to try to take screenshots or anything like that because you'll have access to it. So the first thing that I want to go to is we're going to go to page 13. And what's important about page 13 is the question that was asked was, which of the following best describes how much you are into news information? And just for this is really just for the 440 respondents. 35% called themselves a news junkie, which survey is going to be the far extreme part of listening to a lot of news versus not at all. And then we have 60% that regularly follow news. But have other interests too. So we have a large, portion of the respondents saying that they are news junkies. Okay. So that's one page that I wanted to bring up to you all. The next thing that we're going to go to is page 14. And what they have here was the question, please rate your interest in hearing each of the following types of local news events, happenings coverage presented by the station that sent you the survey. And some things that are note is that let me see the number here. 82% responded that they go to KPFA for the investigative reporting on important local issues. It's very important that you all know that the survey nationally, when they came down to the nuts of it, the two things that they came out of it was, one, people go to their community radio stations for news. They trust community radio stations more than large media conglomerates. And they go to community radio stations to hear music that they wouldn't hear elsewhere. This is what I'm going to present to you is going to be more skewed toward the news part because there's not that many, there's no slides here about the music part, but that was one thing that they also made very clear that people go to community radio stations to get access to new music and new artists. So don't forget that. The other thing that they had here was that 72% go to the KPFA for local elections coverage, right? So that, kind of like what I was saying with Lauren presenting what they did during the fund drive of the hearings that they covered, that's something that our listeners are craving for. Right. From there, I'm going to go to page 23. It's going to be the same information. Main reason for listening to public radio. This is for the KPFA respondents. Really 87% that responded said that it was to be informed about the news. And the second one below that is deeper news perspective. After that, more trustworthy and objective programming. Okay. And then, I keep saying it, but, you know, out of the 440 respondents, it's the best that we can do with a survey with people who are actively participating. But this is the information that we got from those active participants. Okay. Then we go to page 28. This is important for us when we're going to fund drive or asking for donations or financial support. The question they ask is, of the following list of appeals offers the station that sent you the survey might make during its fundraising efforts, which of these are most likely to impact your decision to make a financial contribution to the station? A lot of this is not a surprise. 78% said to support independent media in your community. 78% also said to support the high quality journalism this station provides. Okay. And then the last thing that I have is going to be, or the last page I'm going to go to is page 30, which is going to go to political ideology. It'll show you a comparison of the total this for all stations that participated. And then I'll go to KPFA. So you can see that for all the stations that participated, they had 30% that said they were very liberal, progressive, and then somewhat liberal, progressive, 38%. And you can compare that for KPFA, where we had 73% of respondents say that we're very liberal, progressive, and 12% somewhat liberal, progressive. And again, something to note is that someone brought this up as a comment to me that I had happened to read, which was the term liberal, progressive can mean different things in different areas. So that was one critique of the survey. But for us to look at it, you know, just how our participants and our listeners define themselves, this is pretty helpful to see. What I'm curious about is, and this is just a question for me as the general manager, is how we have a moderate centrist 3%, mm-hmm. but on the national mm-hmm. have 20%. Just something for us to think about, like how are we going to reach different people, right? And also how to reach people, quote unquote, across the aisle so that they can yeah. know what we are covering, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I'm at with that, with it, because it's 7:08 and I think there's going to be other presentations.
Thank you, Antonio. That's an amazing report. I thank you so much. And, so Christina, you're muted. I don't know if you've got any questions in the chat.
I see none at this point.
Okay.
And I have a point of order, I guess.
Go ahead. What's your point
of order, Carol? Because, I mean, who are you supposed to send the, there's only four options in the chat to send the message to. Who's supposed to receive it?
Where it says questions and motions. Questions and motions. Thank you.
Questions and motions wasn't an option.
It's there at the top.
I put my questions to Candace, so I guess.
Okay.
She's gonna
Candace,
pretend
is that okay for you?
Well, I mean, I didn't know who to send it to because there
Thank
was
you.
No.
Thank you.
There were only
Thank
four
you.
Options.
Thank you.
So okay. Should I just state my questions? Because
No. Thank you. Candace, can you see a question from Cheryl and can you go ahead and read that, please? Candace, you're muted.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
why was there news broadcast for 30 minutes during the Black History Month Saturday during the gospel show when there is no news during that time before or since? Where is the equity in monthly?
Wait just a second, Candace. And Antonio has requested one question at a time. So
okay.
Go ahead, Antonio.
So the question is, there was 30 minutes of news during the gospel hour?
On Black History, during the Black History programming.
I'm kind of confused by that because I know that we have 30 minutes of news.
Can I clarify the question, please? So during...
Stop. We've had some problems. Please clarify it in the chat. We want to transition to our questions in the chat because we've had so many problems with having the questions be, you know, respectful and one at a time. So please go ahead and write your clarification in the chat. Okay. Any other questions? And we'll get back to Cheryl. Christina, do you see questions?
I do not see any questions.
Okay, Candace, do you see any?
Well, I see, I don't know, they've changed, the Zoom has changed the way this looks in it. I have to say it looks very confusing. It looks like I'm not sure who this, it's not a board member. Is it okay if it's not a board member?
No.
No, this is for board members. I'm sorry.
So Anthony says, I have a question, comment for Antonio. Glad to see Electronic Intifada on KPFA. As a former newscaster, I'd like to hear Lauren at the next meeting. Can you invite her?
Yes, I can invite Lauren at the next meeting.
Good.
Yeah, and also just to kind of, now that I have an idea of what Cheryl's question is, the one thing that KPFA needs to do is it needs to be news responsive. And for any late breaking news or breaking news that happens, the news team, the news department, Lauren, as the lead, has been in communication with the other managers, especially with Jose, and the engineering department of how we could easily pivot and report on what is happening in the world and what's happening in our communities. And I think it's important for our listeners to be able to hear that versus getting it someplace else. And so the whole hope is that we're gonna be able to do that, cover the news, and do minimal interruptions as possible. So you may start hearing more late breaking news coverage over the weekends. That's one area that has been a challenge for us, and one that I think, you know, if you were going to be ingesting news on a Saturday, and like the example would be war in Iran breaks out and KPFA isn't covering it, not even just mentioning it for a minute, you end up turning someplace else, right? And so what we want to do is we want to not interrupt the full programming, but get people to know this is what's happening right now that you need to know about, and then go back to regular scheduled programming. Right. And our music programmers have been more than I don't want to say the eager, because that's not the right word, but they have wanted to participate and help us be successful in that.
Thanks, Antonia. And we're now going to need to rush on to our PNB report. Zach has a PNB report. Zach, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What was that?
Did you have a PNB report about the news? Or did you want Darlene to do that?
Darlene can do that. You mean about the national news?
Yeah.
I'll just briefly go over at least how I read what was in the ED report. And I would like to acknowledge what appears to be the beginnings of a national Pacifica news system. So this coordinated team of Ursula and Bob Henley and Sue Goodwin and Stephanie Wells and Lauren Schmidt and Antonio have been developing what's currently being called Pacifica Foundation News. And the goal is to create a shared national news pipeline where reporters across the network contribute stories that are edited and distributed across stations. And I think we've already seen some of the early pieces of this come together. As of March 9th, stations now have access through AudioPort to a coordinated daily menu of headline news produced at different times by WBAI, KPFA, and WPFW. And I think over the past year, we've also seen Pacifica successfully collaborate on national live broadcasts of major events like conventions, election coverage, mass protests, and breaking news. And upcoming coverage will include things like the No Kings protests and other major national moments. And to me, this work is incredibly important because Pacifica has always been strongest when we function not just as individual stations, but as a national journalistic network rooted in community reporting and focused on issues like democracy, labor, justice, and the environment. I think at a time when corporate media is increasingly consolidated and often failing to serve the public, building a stronger independent national news capacity is critical to our future and frankly to the health of our democracy too. So I would also just want to thank everybody involved in this, especially Antonio and Lauren at KPFA for the experience and resources they're bringing to this effort. That's it.
Thank you. And I want to take a moment to thank and introduce Susan Young, who is the chair of the National Board. Susan, thank you for your work on that. And did you have one sentence you want to share?
I have a couple. One, it's great that Antonio was on the NFCB board. That's great for the entire system. And so thank you very much. And the information provided in the survey is fabulous.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to public comments. Thank you for your patience to our guests. And will you please raise your hand if you are a guest from a community organization who would like to speak? And I promised Patrick Kavanaugh that he would go first because he has he has another meeting he has to be in. So, Patrick, thanks for unmuting. And will you introduce yourself and tell about your organization?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Sorry for jumping the line, everybody. What an amazing experience of community engagement. My name is Patrick James Kavanaugh. I was invited through the network of Permaculture Friends. East Bay Permaculture Guild is a friend of mine. Local Permies United, right? So we had received outreach to Bay Area Applied Mycology, also known as BAM. And then I'm also working on behalf of Pacific Beach Coalition. So these are all examples of my climate action portfolio, having come to California for the California Climate Action Corps. We had plans to take that national, known as the American Climate Corps, but elections have consequences, as you all are aware of and share on your late breaking news. So let's talk about quickly my two groups that we're focusing on today. Bay Area Applied Mycology thinks fungi will save the world. Applied mycology means using fungi to do things like mycorestoration, to remediate toxic contaminants out of our soil. It could also be using it as a craft material to dye yarn and a textile or a building material. We think, you know, engaging with the mushroom is a way for people to generate consciousness about nature. We want to go find them in the forest. You learn a greater appreciation for the ecosystem in which we find ourselves in. Our next BAM monthly social is a spring swap. It'll be happening March 30th at Finnish Club Hall in Berkeley. We meet every month on the last Monday. We are involved with a lot of the community events. Just last week was Exploratorium After Dark right here in San Francisco. But we are all over the Bay, from Marin down to San Jose, and appreciate everybody coming out. Let me know if you have any questions about that. Patrick at bayareaappliedmycology.org. Pacific Beach Coalition, previously known as Pacifica Beach Coalition, based in Pacifica. They've been around for 28 years, actually. Their scope of mission includes preserving the ocean, coastal habitat and wildlife, trying to end litter through advocacy, education, community building, and citizen action. So in that case, you know, think of If you've ever been to Linamar or Pacific Estate Beach, as it's now known, a very famous Taco Bell cantina in the 70s and 80s, you know, very popular bonfire site and dumping ground. So our co-founders in 1997 started cleaning up and kept coming back every month. And since then, you know, we've transformed a little bit, evolved into habitat restoration. Last year, we had over 11,000 volunteers. We do education programs. We do corporate give back programs. Our next event, very exciting, would be our annual Earth Day EcoFest. And that's happening Saturday, April 18th at Pacific Estate Beach in Linamar. The morning of at 9 a.m., we will have monthly, our monthly site cleanups will all be happening on that day to celebrate Earth Day. So that's more than 15 areas from Daly City down to Half Moon Bay and across San Mateo County to Foster City. And then we have our Eco Fest, which is last year about 27 booths and 10 activities in partnership with places like, NOAA and our local schools and our educational partners, Fitzgerald Marine Reserve, places like that. NOAA won't be able to join us this year, but hopefully the executive director of the California Coastal Commission, Dr. Kate Hucklebridge, to celebrate 50 years of the Coastal Act and to combat the offshore drilling that Trump has proposed. So things like that. You can find out more information at pacificbeachcoalition.org/ecofest. And I'm going to see the rest of my time. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Next, Stephen Levinson for Jewish Voices for Peace. Hi, Stephen, you're muted. Go ahead.
Thank you for joining, letting me join you today. This is really important that KPFA reach out to local organizations. I'm representing Jewish Voice for Peace Bay Area. Jewish Voice for Peace is the world's largest anti-Zionist organization. And as KPFA knows better than most, great things start in Berkeley. We were founded in Berkeley. We're now national and international. We think it's really important that we present ourselves in the media and in the public as Jews supporting Palestine, trying to counter the general belief that all Jews and Judaism is equal to Zionism. We're really fighting that on a national level. We're very involved with many Palestinian organizations and often take leadership from them in both local and national campaigns. Very involved in boycott and divestment from companies that profit from arming Israel. One of the major ones involved in that we're doing right now is called the Oakland People's Arms Embargo, which is to try and get the Port of Oakland to stop sending arms to Israel. Much to everybody's surprise, given Oakland had a ceasefire agreement, which Berkeley has not yet done, the Oakland port is one of the top ports in the country for sending military equipment to Israel. Mm-hmm. Over 280 times in the last year, I think, there have been flights from Oakland to Israel carrying F-35 parts and other military equipment. So that's sort of a major campaign we're involved in right now. Another thing we're doing in the near future is this Saturday, there's going to be a celebration of Irish-Palestinian solidarity as part of the San Francisco St. Patrick's Day Parade. So we'll be joining a number of organizations, especially doing canvassing at that event around the Oakland People's Arms Embargo. The Oakland People's Arms Embargo is a major Palestinian youth movement-driven campaign right now. And there's a lot of businesses we're trying to get to divest, or working on local politicians, and that's sort of our major campaign. So we're constantly holding actions demanding the U.S. government stop arming Israel. Often this leads to certain levels of civil disobedience. We did a sit-in at Senator Padilla's office and a sit-in at the Ferry Building, where we had, in both cases, over 300 people sitting down and trying to get people, and in that case, the senator, to stop funding Israel. Education is a huge part of what JVP does. Among other things, we have an actual class, Palestinian Zionism 101. It's an 8-week class. I just finished it. We go over the whole history. One thing that's happening is we're becoming actually a 501c4. You're a board. You appreciate these details. We've been a c3 up to now, and we're transitioning into having a c4 element, which will allow us to become more involved in elections and campaigns. And it should be noted right now that we strongly oppose the war in Iran. And I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephen. Next, Jacob. And Rod, could you go ahead and share Jacob's statement, screen share? Okay, go ahead, Jacob.
Good afternoon, Rod. Good evening, board members, community. My name is Jacob Yesnobrookston, and I'm a producer at KPFA's Pushing Limits. For 20 years, our collective had been covering issues related to those with disabilities. In 2024, I founded a group called Nothing Without Us. We are a group of people with disabilities who are alone with the Trump administration agenda. We know that most of you share our concern. We are committed to resisting and mitigating its action, policies, and practices. We would like to invite you to an online community meeting to discuss how to increase disability access, inclusion, collaboration, and solidarity in California organizes. People with disabilities have a ongoing history of being targeted by a system of oppression. For over 50 years, we have been organizing for the right to live in the community and to access education, healthcare, housing, and transportation, to name just a few. Our victories have always expanded civil rights and benefited all people, improving society as a whole. While there is still much more to do and our contributions are needed now more than ever, many of the same access barriers we had long fought against are still present at our meeting today, and we are asking to meet with you to offer a perspective, get yours, and make plan to more effective e-work to get your total issue goal. Please pursue your RSVP to Andrea at the email shown on the screen to let us know if you are hired for your organizing circle, community group, or work. Place will be interested in attending an online meeting to discuss strategies for increasing awareness and focus on institutional and organization policies and practices that affect people with disabilities. Increasing solidarity and continued collaboration and working together to understand a bridge gap in understanding disability access and inclusion. But be here for you, we listen out a pro to root an amazing test for as many people as possible to attend. We expect this meeting to take place today, April and early May. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to show today, and I hope to work with you in the next few months. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jacob. Next, I want to call on Bonnie Baruchy. Bonnie, go ahead and unmute, please. Bonnie, you're
hello.
Muted.
Hello. Hi. Hi.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to turn on my camera too. So hi, I'm Bonnie Baruchy and thank you for inviting me. I'm part of Transition Berkeley, which is a 501c3. We became a 501c3 in 2019, but we've been around for about 11 years. We're a grassroots organization that brings local people together to bring about more healthy ways of living. Some of our projects range from growing and sharing food to repairing things and restoring pollinator habitat, saving native plant seeds, and this as more as interests arise. So we try to inspire positive solutions and lasting changes. We're part of an international transition network that was started by Rob Hopkins, probably about 20 years ago. And there are several transition towns all around the world. Basically, transition is a shift from one way of living to another. And we aim to transition from forms of energy production and human existence that we want to transition to forms that are less harmful to the earth and more sustainable in the long run by starting in our local community of Berkeley. So let me tell you about just a few of our projects. We've been having a crop swap where people bring food, their surplus food that they might grow. But you don't have to bring food. You can just come to get food. And that's every Monday at Ohlone Park across from the North Berkeley BART station. And it's Monday on Monday evenings from May to October. So that's one of our longest lasting projects. In 2019, we started being involved in repair cafes where people can bring things that need fixing. And we have, we work with many other organizations. Right now we're partnering with BUSD in bringing repairs to the schools and also having these three community repair events per year in one of the middle schools in Berkeley. We just had a great one at Longfellow Middle School on the end of February. So our next one will be sort of a mini repair event at the Climate Festival that will be April 25th at King Middle School, I believe. So you can check for all these events on our website, which is transitionberkeley.org. What other things? Oh, yes. Actually, this Friday, we're also involved with another very wonderful event at the Ecology Center. It'll be a seed swap. It's part of the Basel annual seed swap. And it will be 6 to 8 p.m. at the Ecology Center, where, again, people have seeds to bring. You can swap them for other seeds, but you don't have to bring seeds. You can just come and get seeds. There's a seed library permanently at the Ecology Center. What else? Oh, pollinator gardens. The last thing we do, we have started and managed several pollinator gardens around West Berkeley, mostly in the parks. And we always invite people to come and volunteer in the Pollinator Gardens. We are a volunteer organization ourselves, and we really depend on people getting involved. So again, that's transitionberkeley.org.
Thanks, Bonnie. Next, Babalwa, I can't, I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. Please forgive me. Go ahead. And unmute. Yes.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me. My name is Babalwa Kwanele, and I am the community lead and the steering committee lead for the African American Holistic Resource Center that's located here in Berkeley. So I wanted to just give a brief piece about the African American Holistic Resource Center. We've been working on this project for the past 15 years, actually, all volunteer basis. And what the African American Holistic Resource Center is it's actually turned into a movement. And looking at it, it is a community-defined, culture-congruent holistic services and programming. We've had funding, meaning us, meaning the community. There's a steering committee and a community leadership. We're in collaboration with the City of Berkeley, the Parks and Recs Department, has worked with us. We've been able to acquire Measure T1 funds to build the facility. What's unique about this facility is that the facility is grassroots led. So rather than building a facility and then figuring out how to fit the services in the community, fit the services in the building, we flipped it and looked at what are the needs of the people. Us people within the community did lots of community outreach, focus groups, think tanks, things like that over the past 15 years to gather information about what are some of the needs to help to change the social determinants of health within the African American community, particularly in Berkeley. And as you know, the rates and the of the social determinants of health, meaning health, mental health, wellness, housing, education, and employment, is lower for African Americans than it is any other group within the city of Berkeley. So we've started with building that project and collecting that data, went to the city and partnered with the Parks and Recs Department and started the design of the building. So we just had our groundbreaking in January recently, and which was a wonderful success. And with that groundbreaking piece, there are some many community members were able to come out and join us in such a celebratory event because it took 15 years really to get to this particular point. The services that would be there are looking at culture responsive services that are offered in order to address, like I mentioned, the social determinants of health, mental wellness, and across the lifespan, and really looking at holistic wellness. We're calling it a third space. And what a third space is a space where it's, where people will come to and be able to receive services, be able to get information. Some of the key points that are there, and I'll be very brief, is like our culinary kitchen, our rooftop garden. So we're really looking at trying to help members of the community, all members of our community, really improve our overall health and wellness. So please look out for us. We will be having other events coming up this summer. There's nothing scheduled as of yet because we just recently had, like I said, the groundbreaking ceremony. And we're hoping to begin moving to the point where we're looking at the building, tearing down the building in 1890 Alcatraz and building a new one. Thank you. The expected date is in about a couple of years.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes. And next, Melinda.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melinda Starr. I'm a retired public school teacher and a member of an organization called CalSTRS DeVest. We are a grassroots educator-run organization that is trying to get CalSTRS, our pension fund, the largest educator-only pension fund in the world, to divest $2.7 billion from companies that are enabling the genocide and occupation in Palestine. We also want them to divest from Israel bonds and Israeli banks. We started in the summer of 2024, just a small group of Berkeley teachers. At this point, we have expanded and we have teachers in Los Angeles, San Diego, Oakland, Sacramento, and now Humboldt, who are participating, coming to meetings monthly. And then we also have committee meetings where we are focused on outreach and communications mostly. So our outreach is, the outreach committee is trying to let educators across the state, as well as the general public, know that CalSTRS has all this money invested in companies that are enabling genocide and occupation, and that we have communicated to the board through going to meetings and sending letters, and even we even met with the investment committee. But they have not, their position is that they don't believe in divestment, that their goal, their focus is just to bring, to make as much money as they can for the beneficiaries. So in order to reach out to more teachers, we have teach-ins on Zoom every 2 months. We've been doing power half hours where teachers at various schools across the state are calling in the board and emailing the board. We have a website, an Instagram page, a Facebook page, and we also go to rallies. We'll be attending a healthcare rally in Sacramento on the 20th. Where we will be leafleting and really trying to get the word out. We're also increasing our endorsements. We have labor council endorsements as well as teacher union endorsements. So that's really been our big focus is getting the word out, getting people to sign our petition. We have about 2,000 signatures now. Our goal is to get 10,000 and to really put pressure on the CalSTRS board to do the right thing and divest from these companies.
Thank you, Melinda. We just have a couple more minutes before we go into executive session. Isis, go ahead, please. Did you have a community organization you wanted to talk about?
No, I just wanted to call the comments.
So our public
could be right here.
Excuse me, can people be quiet, please, so I can hear what Carol is saying?
Thank you. I thought maybe you had a community organization. Our public comments is right now for community organizations.
Wow. That's pretty undemocratic.
Yeah.
You have it with
incredibly undemocratic, and it goes against the rules of any kind of public broadcasting.
Okay. Right now, we're going to move into executive session.
Absolutely outrageous, Carol. Absolutely outrageous. Shame on you. Shame on you for excluding the community. Shame on you.
The only Palestinian-American member of the KPFA LSB, Dr. Rabab, cannot even meet on Wednesdays. And despite that, you changed it to Wednesdays. The only Palestinian member of the LSB along Pacifica Network.
We're going to move into closed session. So what I'm going to ask is for everyone...
And the two suspended members, Elizabeth Milos and Steve Zelter, were taken off of the website.
Elizabeth Milos, please stop talking and
please
mute her.
Please move her to the waiting room. Thank you. Okay, now, thank you for restoring. I am so sorry that all of you had to hear that we were trying to have respectful meetings and it gets difficult. So we are at the end of our open session, and the open session is now adjourned. So if our board members are requested to stay on in the meeting, and everyone else is welcome to go.